to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Yep, you have joined us live now. Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by RCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm in the studio and we will bring you the news, all the new developments that has happened for the rest of that week.
Yes, sir. Just stay tuned as we bring the best to you. Gawas has been away from Auckland, so he has some great news to talk about. He's going to be talking about employment, something we're all desperate about. And also, we have a few other stuff to talk about, just a little bit, I'm going to tell you. But away, just stay tuned, because outside there, it's looking really, really bad. So don't turn your radio off, and even if you're in a car, just turn it off. You'll find the fame on 104.6. Just listen to me, Pierre Bahati.
And Gadwak Shaw.
Yes, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, we are coming back. Oh,
government's yard in Trenchtown. Brenda and Georgia would make the fire light as it was. Love would burn them through the night. And we would cook cornmeal porridge, of which I'll share with you. My feet, yes, my only courage. So I've got to push on through. But while I'm gone, everything is gonna be alright. Everything is gonna be alright. Everything is gonna be alright. Everything is gonna be alright.
Back to Reset Radio on 104.6. This program is brought to you by ARCC. I'm Thierry Bahati.
And Godlock Shohol.
Yes, the 19th of May, today is Saturday. Pretty much I was just saying you're not missing much out there because the weather is looking so great.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, so stay listening to Pint FM 104.6.
104.6, yep.
You know, it's so wonderful to be listening, like, my awesome voice and my friends' voices.
Yep.
Mr. Galwart.
Yeah, that's...
Yes, I'm sure you guys, you
love it's like this. A long week, man.
So, Galwart, you've been in Wellington. Can you tell
us? Yeah, I've been in Wellington and have attended the... it's a yearly thing.
Yes.
It's called NRRF. National Resettlement, National Refugee Resettlement Forum.
Okay. Yeah.
So
what
this
is about?
This is where all the sectors, you know, all the agencies delivering services to the resettlement sector. Mm-hmm. We call them resettlement sectors. The agencies that we call resettlement sector are the agencies like ARCC, and Red Cross, ARMS, and RES New Zealand. All those agencies. You know, because they give services to the people who need those services. And so this agency, the NRRF, I think I need to practice on that.
Yes.
So it happens once a year.
People can go to Google and they can Google it.
They can
ask
Google
Mr.
It.
Google.
Dr. Google.
Dr. Google.
Yeah, the theme for last year was different. It was health and well-being, but this year changed. So the theme for this year is employment. And so the question that was asked, you know, what does a job do for you if you get employed? What does it mean to you? What is a meaningful employment? And so that's the question that was asked, you know, and it resonates with everybody, with me and with anyone who has a job, who has had a job, you know. So it would be like, I can ask you for now, what was your first job in New Zealand, Pierre, if you don't mind?
To be honest, I think you are taking me somewhere I don't really like, because my first job in New Zealand was a mechanic, and I'm still doing a mechanic. Yes.
And how long did it take you to get that job?
It took a long time to get that job, but I got to know someone who could... when I came here, I could speak French. Trust me, I could speak French. Anyway,
I'm asking this question because there we had a lot of testimonies. Mm. People who had the job for the first time in New Zealand while they are well experienced in their country of origin.
Yes, I got someone who just got to meet someone and I introduced myself to him. And then he took me somewhere where this guy gave me a job. I was employed and I was getting paid $4.25. Mm. And I was working from 7 to 7. That I wasn't getting paid for it. And also, it's like I was not there.
Yeah.
They couldn't talk to me. Was no communication. I just commute and work. Then I look the time to go home. I was told you start 7, you finish 7. And I remember after having a few problems with income, because when I started working in the working income, which at that time it was something else, unemployment, they stopped our benefits, so we couldn't afford the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, $4.25. We couldn't eat, and I didn't know where to go. I mean, people who are here right now, they are so lucky because they have ARCC, they have all those arms, they have what else?
And they have social connection nowadays. It's not like it used to be.
Yes, they know what to do. But for us, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go. However, after they stopped my my income, what do you call it, social welfare, I was having problems, you know, spent a couple of weeks hungry. And then that was the time I had to approach somebody and speak my best English. So, yes, I got a job. Wasn't that good, but I got a job after, let's say, about maybe 6 months.
6 months?
Yes.
Oh, it did not take you long compared to other people.
It did not take me long to get a job. I think because maybe I was a mechanic. Being a mechanic, you can do a mechanic language and then work. Yeah.
And now you are a mechanic and you are a mechanic fixing people too. Oh, you don't know about that?
No, I don't know about that. I can talk to people.
You have answered some of the things that came up there. Because the question is, what does the job do to you? Mm. What does meaningful employment do to you?
Yep.
And some of the things that came up from the people is that a meaningful employment means social inclusion.
Yep.
You just talked about how you don't talk to the people when you start the work.
Yes, definitely. Because
you live in isolation, and then when you get to the work, you know, it's a different environment. And,
true,
you know, as time goes by, you become part of that community, a work community. Mm. And so, and then you build connections from there. Mm. So it says it's a social inclusion and it's a financial security.
Yeah.
So for the things you need, you know, that you never obtain on your own, so it means you're gonna be financially secure now, even though not fully. You know, you are financially okay. Mm. You know, and it also is good for your well-being.
True.
You know, we come from where there's a war, and you are thinking about your relatives and your friends, and you need to help them. Mm. You know, I've been there in Kenya where people, if somebody is leaving for Australia, Canada, or United States, it's a big thing. They do a party for him. And it would be like, now, guys, I'm leaving. Guess what? You are free. For you, about your education, don't worry about that. I'm going. Forget about your worries now. Mm. So you're good now. Mm. The moment I land there, your life will be different forever. And the next thing, what will happen is like the guy will be like for 2-3 months, is not contacting people. Would be like, what is happening there?
Yeah, true.
So the guy is learning new life, you know, life of going to work with a car. You know, drive your own car, speak new language, you know, don't come late, all of those. So it is overwhelming.
It is.
Yeah, so when it talks about well-being, I'm thinking about the people you left there. And when you don't have a job, there's too much pressure on you. You need to help them, but you have got nothing to help them, you know. All the phone calls, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that, you know. Mm. And you need to help, but there's no way. And your family here, too, you know. You've got nothing to offer your kids. Say, I need, tomorrow is my birthday, what are you going to buy? You've got nothing, no money, you know. You see, yes, all those.
Yes, and I can say people who are like coming into the country, or maybe people who are like overseas, when they think about coming into a country like New Zealand, they think, yes, life is going to be awesome.
Different.
I'm going to get get a job and work, you know, send money to my friends and the families.
Yeah, family and
but,
fiancé and
they
all
forget
those.
Something they don't know, there's a language barrier, there's, you know, you have to fit in, you have to integrate into a country before you get even a good job.
Somebody landed here, the next day he wanted to find a job, and then he went to an employer, and then the employer asked him, do you have a CV? He said, CV, is that my last name? another name for me? He said, no, I said CV is... a paper where you put all what you have done back home, and then you put them in the paper, and that's what we call CV. Say, I don't have it. Mm. Is there a class for it? They say, no, there's no class for CV, but it's something you have to do yourself.
True.
You know, these are the new things you learn as you arrive, you know.
Mm. And so talking about your meeting and employment, what you've been talking about, so this meeting which is being held there every year, so what is it to do, or how do people who are settling into the country, how they get to benefit from it?
Actually, it's a big program. It's called 2020. It's an employment framework for the former refugees. We go to the terminology for ARCC, where we call ourselves former refugees. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. And the Minister of Immigration directly call it former refugee community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you are a refugee and you have been here for more than 10 years, you become a New Zealander, you vote, you help the community, you are not being included. You know, you should not be called a refugee, because a refugee thing has ended the moment you board the plane to come to New Zealand. Mm. So you are no refugee anymore. I know somebody called me a refugee one day. Hey, are you a refugee? I say, is there a refugee camp in New Zealand? They say, I don't know about that. They say, if no refugee camp, why there's a refugee here? Refugees are in refugee camps. So, yeah, this program is called Employment Framework for Former Refugees. Mm. It's a Vision 2020. They are trying to group the employers together and, you know, and help the former refugees to get jobs.
Mm.
It's a hard work. Immigration will not do it on its own, so it will collaborate with other agencies. We went there, and there were so many employers there, you know, giving testimonies how they employ people. And because our experience on this job site thing is different, you know, we are not compared to other immigrants. Other immigrants, people who came from Asia, from Europe, they have skills. Mm-hmm. But us, we are different. Although we have skills, we have a language issue. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like you have five kids, and one of your children needs to be taken care of. You know, is the weakest one in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to put more energy, more time to lift up that child. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. So we are the weakest one in the community that needs to be taken care of.
True.
You know, that's what is happening. And all those, we will talk about them. Let's have a break, and we will come back.
Yes, when we come back, just to remind you, we're going to be talking about, again, you know, Girlwood's meeting in Wellington. And stay tuned. You are with Pierre Bahati in the studio, Girlwood.
And this is UB40, Red Wine.
Memories don't go. Memories.
Yes, we've been talking about NRRF, the meeting which Galwat attended, and a meeting which pretty much they were talking about employment. So my question was people who are struggling to this country, how they get to benefit from this?
Yeah. And that's a very important question, because we had people there who had a lot of testimonies. You know, I got great guy there. We had like a panel. In every topic we had a panel, and then they discussed. And then there will be a feedback reflection. And then there's this guy. He came from Bhutan. You know where Bhutan is?
No, not quite really geographically. I'm just like totally.
I think somewhere between, I don't know, but I think it has a border with
the thing is
with Philippines.
We don't even have to know. We can search that.
Google it.
Yeah. So therefore, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't know where is Bhutan, just search on Google, because
Google it.
I don't want to give you the wrong information.
Yeah, the guy is like a very great guy. He came with a very big experience educationally. He was a teacher. He was a principal of his school. And he worked there for like so many years. And when he came to New Zealand, because of the political unrest in this country, and then he fled the country, he went to Philippines. Mm. And from Philippines, and then he came to New Zealand as a refugee. And adjusting to the life here, he walked us through the steps and the advice, what to do, what not to do. When he came here, he thought he would just get a job as a teacher, because he got the experience, he got the knowledge, and he got it all.
Mm.
That's what he had in mind when he was coming here. And then when he came here, first thing, people talk in a different language, English.
Yes.
And so it was like, okay, man, this is how things are now. So what will happen?
Mm.
I will go to English school.
Yes.
So I will upgrade myself to communicate with people. So he said, I knew it would take me a long time to get where I want.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. I'm very safe, but I have to play it safe too. So I need to go where I want to go, but I have to do the basic. And then he went to English language. From English language, and then he went to pick a pack.
Mm.
Is it called pick a pack, those fruits?
Pick
a pack in the farm. Yeah, pick the fruits and all of those, you know, apples. And from there, I think he worked for some time, and the guy was like, you know, his manager is like, hey, you guy, you know, I like you. You are on time, and you are a hard worker, and you are very polite, and you are a very good guy. So what is happening now? I'm going to give you a new position, so you're going to be a machine operator.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're going to be a machine operator. He said, okay, that's good. I'm going to be a machine operator. That's fine. And then he was trained to be a machine operator. And then from there, that's another journey now. So as a machine operator, he was there. And then somebody asked him to go to school and help them. I don't know with what. I don't know what happened from there. And then he went to his school. So finally, he got his job in his school. So from the day he came, from the day he came to New Zealand until he got that, what he wanted. So it took him 10 years to get what he wanted. And so his advice is like, when you come to a new place, especially if you are coming to New Zealand, don't expect much. Don't aim high, aim low.
The thing is, for me, resettling into the country, I've been saying, it's just like a starting, getting to fit in. So, which means you have to start from somewhere. You have, you can't, it's like a type of a car, you have to follow a ladder of success. You have to start from the first floor. You just got a second step.
Yeah.
Because, you know, first, even if people who just come from a country like England where they speak the English, forget about those other countries which they have other languages. But I got to know a lady, she's a teacher. She told me when the time she came here many years ago,
they struggle to be in this country. They struggle because of being in a foreign land. They don't know people and this stuff. So even if she was a teacher, she couldn't get a job before she went back to uni, study again in New Zealand, and be able to be qualified to be to have a New Zealand qualification, and so she can teach. So imagine if people like us who just come from the country, we don't speak the language. You have to learn like a baby. You know, you have to start learning. You know, it is really, really hard. So people will think, yes, you can come. And sometimes people will think, oh, yeah, it's not fair because I was a doctor. It's not fair because I was an engineer in my country. But you forget about the language. For me, I remember when I was doing a mechanic, I couldn't communicate. And this particular time, I cannot forget. My workmate needed help because what he was holding into his hand was so heavy and he wanted help. So he was just yelling, say, come and help me. I didn't know what that mean. So imagine working with someone who you cannot communicate. First of all, it's a health and safety hazard.
Yeah. So, so you might do something that might harm you and you don't even know.
Yes. So if you just come into the country, please start from somewhere. You need to start from somewhere. Get employed, yes. And I'm sure people will employ you even if you don't speak a good good English. But you need to, you know, start somewhere. Communicate with people, you know. That's what I think.
I think that's a very good experience because all of us, we have different experiences because we come from different backgrounds. Mm. Even if we come from one geographical location, we have our different background coming with us.
Mm.
And I think I agree with the guy because if you come to a new location or if you come to a new country, I think you better start very low. Because if you have this high expectation, you know, high expectation is a depression. Because if it is not met, so it's going to enroll into something else.
Yeah, definitely, yes,
So high expectations all the time, you know, they have negativity in them. And so the advice from the guy is like, you know, don't aim high, aim low. It does not mean that you are not going to where you want to be. But it's because your steps need to be, you know, slow but sure. You know. And the guy, and also we had this woman. She came from Afghanistan, and she could not speak English, and Afghanistan culture is different from New Zealand culture. I know we come from different cultures, but as Afghan woman, she's not supposed to socialize with other women. She should not step outside the house, you know, forget about looking for the job. It's so depressing, and she has 7 children to feed and to clothe and to get to school. It was a depressing situation. She needed a job, but she didn't get a job. And plus that, she could not even speak a word in English. So what she did was to get back to language school. She educated herself in English. She finished high school from Afghanistan, and that's it. And in Farsi, not even English close to that. And when she was... When she came here to New Zealand, she was in Christchurch, and it was like a totally different world to her. She could not even communicate to people, and so she went back to English language. And then slowly, slowly, she started to communicate with the people. And in the house, as to convince the husband, you know, this is a good thing for the family. If I get a job, if I speak good English, so this might, you know, open a door for me to get a job. It's not a bad thing because we come from different cultures and we take other cultures as a bad thing, but we do not look into it, you know. If you don't look beyond your whatever you see, you know, you might take it as a negative. And then she went to school, learned English, learned the basic, and she, you know, she got a job. Now she is a self-employed woman. She has a catering business, you know, selling food.
It's always take that first step.
And also she works in health, because that's where she ended, you know. And it's like what she was telling people is like, no matter what, don't give up. It's always a fight, whatever you go through is always a fight, but no matter what, no matter how many problems you face on the way, don't give up.
That's great. That's great.
Don't give up. And there are a lot of things, too. If you might be looking for a job, your English might be good or excellent, but there's something called CV development. So it's not what they want because it's not all the experience. I know a lot of people talked about the racism in the job market because from the name, peer, they would be like put it aside.
Yeah, we'll pick up Galwad first.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like somebody. Yeah, no.
So those things, you know, will drag you down. And I know one of our community, he was looking for a job, very well qualified IT. He used to be in a law school, and then he shifted, and then he went to IT school, finished his degree, well qualified, very young. He speaks Kiwi English, and then he applied for a job. I think 7 times he was denied. Then he said, okay, let me do this trick. He had 2 CVs. One all his name, but one he got English name, one he got his country name. So 2 of them. And then the second CV that has English name, he was called for interview. And it was interviewed. Guess what happened? It was accepted for a job. So and then he said, okay, now I know, I have seen the racism in the first hand. You call me here because I have English name. So thank you for the job, but I'm not taking it.
But do you take this as a racism or maybe because they fear this person, maybe he doesn't speak English, maybe you're going to have a struggle to talk to the person because there's
but if he says he graduated in Auckland University,
yeah, those are writings. I mean, the CV to me doesn't mean much because
but you cannot graduate in Auckland University without communicating with people.
Trust
right?
me, there's some. I mean, I'm not defending this situation, but I know there's some people who, for me, I will struggle. I know they have a degree or they are doctors, they've been somewhere, but their language, their accent is still so strong that I cannot even problem. They are smart.
Yeah.
But maybe their accent is still like so hard to understand.
But they came here as a young person, like, I don't know, 6, 7?
No, yeah. I mean, when you see the name of someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happened, that's what happened to people here in New Zealand when they see your name. Or even when they see, before they talk to you, when they see you, they say, oh my God, how do I going to talk to this person? And they even wonder in their mind, in the back of their head, whether you can speak English.
But is it not good for them to start talking to you instead of rejecting you without talking to you?
Definitely, yes. That's why you see the Kiwi, they smile at you, see if maybe you can start something. But I'm sure they will be saying, oh my God, how am I going to express in front of this person? They don't even maybe he doesn't even understand English. So it's just like it's a normal thing. But yes, racism is there. But
what I have seen, you know, in this, all employers are not the same. Some of them are really, really very good. And some of them, they need their employees to be different, to be diverse. I know there's encouragement of diversity in Auckland. And some employers really need diversity in their work. But
creates a challenge in a workplace when you have people from different culture background and from different countries. It creates that competition, and that's what probably most of like employee. That's what they want. They want to see that the challenge. You know, where you say, I want to be seen. I want to perform to the max.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
But what we are telling the employers is that these people are coming from different background, and they don't need they need to be explained things, you know, step by step. They're not born here. You know, there's a difference between someone born here and someone who came from different background.
That's great. Yes. Thank you, Galwad. And I hope we're going to talk about how you are encouraging people who are settling into the country to be able to find a job without a fear. And also, even if they have to change their name, maybe name themselves like a good English name, like Smith, you know, mine is so great, I don't have to change because Pierre, you know, sounds great. You know, people will pick me up anyway.
They would think you come from France or you're a friend man.
In the worst case, I would just call myself Peter. So, yes, you are listening to Reset Radio 104.6 Planet FM.
And we are playing you, Michael Jackson, We Are The World.
Thank you for being with us.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Michael Jackson, We Are the World.
Yes, sir, thank you for listening to Reset Radio on 104.6. Pierre Bahati once again.
And Gat Wakshaw.
It has been so wonderful to hang out with us. Outside is nothing, really. Missing out. So if you've been listening to us talking about the meeting held in Wellington.
And NRRF, National Refugee Resettlement Forum. It's a forum for all agencies working in the resettlement sector. They come together once a year, discuss the issues of resettlement. Mm. Last year it was immigration issues and health and well-being. And this year is all about employment. Employment. We need money.
So if you don't mind me asking you, this year they chose to talk about employment. Do they understand there's an issue with employment?
They understand there is an issue with employment. And the good thing about this year, they brought employers. Mm. You know, they invited employers to come and give testimonies how they hire people. And, you know, And the most amazing thing is that it's like they don't know what to do. They like to hire people, but they don't know how to do it. Mm. Yeah, they don't hear much about the former refugees. That's what happened. You know, we can say it's their fault that they don't hire us, but, you know, they don't know. They don't know how to do it. Mm. And then it's like, you know, tell us how to do it, and then we will do it, you know. There's a communication gap there. And I think that's where the agencies such as ARCC will come in, you know, give more education, more awareness about our struggle and the issues we face. And, yeah, I think finally we will be fine. I think we will be all right. It's a matter of giving more awareness and education.
Do they have data of former refugees who are not employed?
We don't have data, but most of our people are not employed because we have a monthly meeting, and from there, this is where the community leaders come together and discuss any issue to do with the community. And you may find most of these community leaders, most of them are not working. So you may say, if a community leader who speaks good English is not working, so what about the ordinary people of the community? And in that also, during the closing of NRRF, came the Minister of Immigration, and it came with a big surprise. He said the quota is increased to 1,000 a year, but on the part of the government of Labour, they made a pledge during the campaign that they will make it 1,500. So now he will put forward a proposal in the parliament that the increase will go to 1,500 the quarter. So which will be really great. Remember, it used to be 750, and now it's 1,000. And now the labor will take it to 1,500, which is great. And now the question is, where will they come from? Because Africa has been out for like 9-10 years ago. We have never had anyone from there.
No,
we are not covered by quota.
It's good. That means there's not much happening in Africa, so which means Africa is just getting peace.
No, it's like we have silent genocides.
Okay, so, another thing is, talking about employment, they're going to have 1,500, and is it employment in New Zealand? Are they going to have jobs?
So what will happen is when they increase the quota, whether from 1,000 or from 1,000 to 1,500, so they will have 10 resettlement locations. So Auckland will not be accommodating people anymore. And so they will have different areas. 10 resettlement locations. They have not named them yet, but I think they will name them. I know last year it was in Vicargo, and that's where the Syrian refugees were taken to. And places like Dunedin is already, receiving refugees. And I think, they will have 10 amazing places, and I think they will let us know.
Oh, that sounds good.
So those places might have jobs, not as critical as Auckland.
The big problem we have in Auckland, is overpopulated, and they're hard to get a job. Even if you get a job, the little bit of the money you get means
they go to petrol.
They got petrol, the traffic is so wonderful in this country. Oh, wow. renting a little unit to stay in with your family.
Yeah.
Last few weeks, I heard there was a little unit, two-bedroom house with 12 people. I think, yes, they need to take people out of Auckland. I don't know if maybe I should be the one to leave.
I used to hear that they say if you want to get out of Auckland, you have to be given $5,000 and get out, don't come back. I don't know whether that policy is still there. It would be like, give me $5,000, I will go, and then go to bar, finish it tomorrow.
I've heard there's a way they were giving that money to people who are looking for employment at Kadan Christchurch. They'll give you some money to get there, and then they won't give you all of it once.
Yeah, I think if you get employment somewhere out of Auckland and you need to move there, I think they will help you. I think that's what is happening.
That's great. So that was employment NRRF you attended. Thank you very much for attending last week. And then thank you for the news you got to bring to us and to share with us. And I hope next year you take more people with you.
Next year we're going to be more.
Well, let's have a break. And when we come back, I want to just, you've heard about this, but let's talk a little bit about, we've been talking about the World Refugee Day is coming soon, and we've been talking about who creates refugees and why refugees. And there's some other countries which are blaming others, and we know there's some powerful countries which really are number one, like a big machine, which produce refugees. And those countries, no one can talk about them, no one can do anything about them, even if they have a power to stop this kind of thing happening, refugees here and there. Yes. New Zealand have increased the quota number of refugees to come here, but it's not what we really want. We want people to be in their country, in their in their homeland. But so when we come back, let's talk about this kind of thing: who produce refugees?
Who produce refugees? And also, the question was asked there: how will we stop producing refugees?
Yes.
How are we going
to
stop
that? How can
you
contribute to stop this kind of thing?
All right, stay tuned. We will come back and talk about that. This is Lucky Dube.
Yes, you're listening to Reset Radio on 104.6. Pierre Bahati here.
And Gadwak Show.
As I promised that I'm going to be talking about something which is a little bit funny, but not really. In fact, this is sad. If you've been listening to radio or maybe reading news different places, you've heard that in America there was another shooting. You know,
that's sad.
Very soon we're going to celebrate the World Refugee Day. And, you know, no one wants to hear refugees. And you will know that the world is so peaceful when there's no refugees, you know?
Yeah.
So, and for me, I had a question this from you, when I heard like, those shooting and stuff. You know, America, I'm not blaming America that nothing happened there. But look, America is the most powerful country which can stop this in a matter of just like a few seconds. You know what they do when there's a guy somewhere in Libya, somewhere in Iraq, when there's a guy who says, look, yeah, I'm a leader. I can stay. I can do this. They just go in a matter of like a few days, it's gone. Gone, you know. Yeah. But in their own country, there's a little thing which is killing young people. So this just is making me upset. And not the reason that I'm saying this. The reason I'm saying this is because we have those countries, those big countries, which is like they, when there's something happening in Kenya, you know, happening in Tanzania, in Burundi, in Rwanda, Congo, they just go, they call a meeting, no, we have to put sanctions on Congo because they killed five people. Five people died, so that should not happen. The people in Kenya, you know, 20 people died because of an election. So that should not happen, so we're going to put sanction on them.
So now the thing is, who is selling the guns?
Yes, definitely. That's
how, that's where the refugee come from. That's the production of refugees.
You got my point. So now there's something happening in America where we can see probably they're not getting enough market to say Africa, so they're saying their own people, and now the gun is just turning to them. It's not that great thing to talk about, but look, if we can be like people, I'm not talking only about Africa, even like some Middle East country, like Asian country, where like Myanmar, where the people are killing each other, if we can just stop receiving their guns, you know, let's America sit down and say, look, why do we do this? Why? Because, you know, for example, in Africa, where the war just taking, you know, killing people, I understand, because those people, they're desperate to be leaders, to be something. But in America, those young people, they're killing young people, and that's supposed to be tomorrow.
Because
generation.
They say, you know, the people in America, the Americans who die because of gun violence in the United States are more. Then it doubles up the number of the people who died in the Civil War, in the Korean War, in the American Civil War. So now if the guns are in the street, I know in America to buy a gun is not expensive. Mm. You know, if you don't buy it the legal way, you can go in the street and buy it in the black market.
You were in America. I hope you didn't buy. Did you buy? No, you didn't buy. Did you buy?
I don't know.
No comment.
You can choose
your answer.
I didn't buy.
But, you know, one thing I want to say, look, let's do things. Let's learn. Let's be, you know, let's learn how to create peace. And congratulations to Burundi. Last 2 days, there was an election held in Burundi. And I'm not going into politics, but I'm so glad that this went well. No one died. Nothing. No one was hurt. So we should be doing this kind of thing. We should be promoting
peace
in the world.
Burundi is one of the countries that has been in so many crises. And
yes.
I'm happy that they're leading the way in that direction, because Burundi, there was a war looming, and thanks God that it didn't happen the way people thought it should. But now, you know, going to the election, Burundi going to the election, you know, this is a call for the rest of the nation.
So you and I, we start talking in peace, talk to peace to where we come from, talk peace to our leaders, talk peace to all our friends,
friends.
We'll be no more refugees. And until here, we're just going to stop our program. We're going to end our program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for bearing with us, and we will be back on live again on Saturday.
And just keep listening. You can listen to this, by the way, online.
And there's African Festival. If you are somebody who likes African food and African drums, there's African Festival on Saturday. So you can go and follow the website of Akofi.
Yes.
So you will get all the details there.
Don't miss out, because there will be a lot of food.
A lot of dance.
A lot of music.
A lot of
love. A lot of people to
there.
Talk about. I mean, to people. Talk to and stuff.
Yeah.
So you get to learn.
Just come along. Bring
culture.
A friend along with you. Yeah. Thank you. Have a great one. See you Saturday.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good one. Stay warm.
Take every single piece of the blame if you want me to. But you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. Can we both say the words and forget this? Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm missing more than just your.